Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another Ordinary Joe's Town Talk with Joey Chapman, powered by Our Town Gwinnett Magazine. We are broadcasting live on the End Results Radio Network inside the Perimeter Roofing Studios from the Country Inn & Suites Radisson Hotel in beautiful downtown Stone Mountain, Georgia. We are super excited today to have head coach of Parkview's football program, Joey Sturdivant. Welcome. Joey, good to see you. Right, so glad you came in, took some time to talk with us. Just real quick, I was going to tell you, my show is basically about interviewing people who are making a difference in Lilburn and Stone Mountain Parkview community and just making a difference in people's lives. I call you guys our hometown heroes.
Well, I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, man, so glad to have you. Let's start by mentioning a few things. I recently interviewed Eric Godfrey, who was your predecessor, and we had a great time, and I'm sure you guys are good friends, and I love Eric, but please don't get mad at me, Eric, but I'm so glad that you beat North Gwinnett the other day. Talk about that win and what it meant to you, and then we'll talk a little bit about the Mill Creek loss, which I hate. But
yeah, so yeah, it was a huge win for the program, a huge win for the kids. You know, they wanted to have a little revenge. It's hard for me. I mean, I played for Eric, so he was my offensive coordinator, yeah. And you know, we coached all 4 years I was playing at Parkview. He was one of the coaches. So, and then we stayed in contact. But when you play another team, as soon as they show up, it's another colored jersey. Didn't even think about it. He was on the other sideline. What do we have to do to win the game? And you know, we were down, you know, five starters and on defense and two of the immediate backups. So most of our time we were focused on, all right, how do we keep these kids safe? How do we get some depth? And, you know, how do we finish this game off? We got into a great start, and then they kind of found some of the dents and the holes, and they were just bleeding it. So we were playing a little survival after getting a big lead, but huge win for the program. You know, North Gwinnett's a great program that been a powerhouse for a long time. Great win for our kids, built a lot of confidence and allowed us to play, you know, a four quarter game. We got out in some big jumps on the teams prior. We hadn't played a full game yet. And then I love, you know, we pull out a win late in the game. You had to dig deep. You know, we need those experiences. I mean, my goal every year is I tell kids we're going to play 15 games. As we're playing for game 15, not just right now. So to have that moment to dig deep and to win on a, you know, a good 5-minute drive, it was huge. And then we got to play some kids in a really meaningful game that were backups.
That is so important too, isn't it?
It's huge. Huge for confidence for those guys, right? Give those kids confidence. They know that we trust them to be in there in crunch time.
Were some of those guys that played, were they younger guys that'll be able to play further in the program?
A couple. Yeah, you know, we had to start, you know, three sophomores. Cool. That was their first. You know, one of them was – he didn't even play his freshman year. He was injured, so it was his first start or first varsity football game. We had two kids that were, you know, baseball guys that, you know, starting their first sophomore game that they missed most of the summer playing baseball, so getting them caught up it was great for that. But then we also had, you know, Jamarius as a senior that he's battling between two kids with Division I offers, and he's, you know, it's, you know, a starter B. So for him to get to play the full game and to have that experience was awesome. That's what you want. I mean, kids and parents don't think you want your kids to play. That's our number one goal. I want every kid to play.
That's awesome.
Now, their performance in practice doesn't always lead to them getting to play, but our goal is I want every kid to play, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so when we're conditioning or you know, running after practice and they're loafing and I call them out on it, it's like, guys, this is why you don't play. It ain't because I don't like you. It's because you just won't work. You won't do it.
Absolutely. That's some super important stuff, learning about discipline and all that stuff. And I did forget to mention, I got my great co-host with me, Ryan.
Hello.
Good to have you here.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Joey and Joey, this is fun.
Throw in anytime you want, man.
No, Joey, Coach Joey, so you kind of alluded to it there, but when your philosophy, is it more about what people are doing off the field in terms of being ready for the moment versus just, you know, if you're loafing in practice – you know, that in my world is going to translate to how you're going to perform, and is that how you look at the kids?
It's a little bit of both. I care more about what you do off the field than on the field. I believe our scheme and our coaching is on point to be successful. But if a kid's not going to do it right in the classroom, he's not going to do it right at home, he's not going to do it right with his friends, he's not going to make right the decisions, it's going to affect him on the game every single time. I believe you get what you deserve. What you put in is what you're going to get out of it. And so it's off the field decisions that affect on the field. If you're not locked in before a game off the field, or you're not taking care of business, it's going to lead you. And so then it leads into practice. It bleeds over into practice. You're not paying attention, not giving a full out effort. It's going to carry over. And I can't let kids play that won't do it right. And I think that's always, to me, that's the greatest motivating factor I have over a kid is playing time.
Yep. Yeah. I was saying, and there's a sport I won't even mention, but somebody was asking my opinion of something, and they said, we just can't get so-and-so to do what we've coached all week. And they're very talented, two or three very talented. I won't name the sport. I said, well, sit them. And they said, but they're better than the reserves. I was like, well, you know what a greater motivator is? Sitting on the bench, because you either get with the program or, you know, you're going to be angry. So I like that. Very good stuff.
Absolutely.
Okay, and I always like to relate our show to business, and I feel like, you know, I know y'all, we had the loss to Mill Creek last week or whatever, and I think it takes a long time for people to understand, hey, you're trying to get ready, like you said, for the 15th game or whatever, and I relate that to business, like, hey, we're going to have some losses. I get salespeople that have losses, and I'm like, hey, it's good for you to learn because you're really playing for the long term. Talk about that a little bit and what y'all learned from that.
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to beat Mill Creek. It was two nationally ranked teams, defending state champions. But to me, it was a test. It wasn't a region game. It cost us nothing. But we want to develop our players and use it as a learning tool. Yeah, we want to win, but we're also not going to try to win at all costs, right? And so we reserved a couple of things we're just not ready to bring out yet, right? It's week five. Things on defense we're still getting through. We just come off playing. We had two long byes. Then we had we destroyed a team, and then we played the wing tee, right? So we're not ready for the wide zone that Mill Creek brings out. It hits fast. They're playing at a pace that we hadn't seen in a little bit, and then they got us, right? They're the state champions for a reason, and I felt like we had them a couple points, but we didn't play Parkview football. And sometimes it needs to get exposed. You got to get humbled every now and then, right? We were lucky when we made our run when I was a player and didn't lose, but we had a very humble thing about us. We didn't take any opponent lightly. We were trained that way, probably because when we were in Little League, we got humbled real quick, right? I felt like we needed to be humbled a little bit, and it sometimes in your worst moments, that's when you get your buy-in as a football coach from the players. Like, hey, you actually might need me, because I wasn't blowing up on you on the sideline when they were scoring. I didn't yell at anybody. We made mistakes, and I was cool, calm, collected. What do I ask from you guys? Effort and hustle, and be locked in practice. And I didn't feel like our practice was locked in, and we didn't play Parkview football what I believe we can. And we let them get away with one, but that's the defending state champions. They scored 70 points in the state championship.
Jeez.
And we went toe to toe with them, 13-13 at halftime. We muffed a punt late in the game that ends up costing us. And poor kid's doing his best. And I normally at the games online and the playoffs, I call a timeout there. I'm trying to reserve timeouts, get us into a 2-minute drill and score. Looking back, probably should have called a timeout because we had kids running on and off the field. And those are things that you have to practice going through. Hey, it's 4th and 2 on our side. We do not – hey, nobody yells out for the punt return team. Our defense stays in. And it's not something we talked about. We haven't practiced it enough to say, hey, you stay on the sideline. And we got half the kids in. Ball gets dropped. And great learning moments for us. I hate losing more than 8. That was the first time I've lost as a head coach or a player in Georgia. I think I'm 62-0 since my freshman year of high school.
Wow.
And as a coach, as a player, as a head coach, first time I've lost in the state of Georgia. So it hurts, but it is what it is. We're going to use that. We're going to go into region, and I feel bad for the teams that are going to be on this pathway because I'm not a very nice, happy, smiley coach. Right? I want to beat you, and we're going to use this to motivate us.
Absolutely.
I was going to say, the viral leak you guys probably saw from the Georgia locker room a couple weeks ago. I saw a locker room where every player screaming at the people, Georgia's down. The other assistant coaches are screaming. And what got me, I'm a leadership guy, Kirby Smart came in with complete calm. He said, one moment, one kickoff return, then go to the first down. And he's like, look at me. He says, we had an ugly game with Missouri last year. We're going to fix this in practice. And he calmed the whole room down. And what did they do? They went out and executed. But to me, that's what you're saying, Coach, with sometimes these moments, you have to have these humbling moments to go, well, we're not, everybody's thinking of their ranking, Well, yeah. Until you get punched in the face, you see what your ranking is, but that can help you long term.
Yep. And neutral thought, right? That's what, that was my pregame speech. It was my halftime speech. And just kind of looking at their eyeballs at halftime, we weren't there. We weren't locked in. It was a really weird feeling. I hate that as a coach because, you know, it's like, oh, man, I don't know if I did a good enough job preparing them mentally for this side. But then the neutral thought is everything, right? And that, I think we lost that. They were always worried about what just happened or the next play instead of, hey, they scored. Let's block the extra point. And then it's kickoff return, and this is our chance. Don't point fingers. That's where we're at. But Kirby does a great job. We had a mutual friend in that leadership department that worked down at IMG with, wrote a great book, ended up passing away, but what a great human being. And
yeah,
you know, that neutral thought. So
that's what popped in my head. I didn't mean to get you the show, but it was what it seems like you're saying. And I think you can't fix what the past or any part of life or the future. You can control the present, right?
I love what you said too, because it relates back to business a little bit. We don't point fingers at my work. We're like, hey, how do we fix the problem? Let's just get it fixed. Don't worry about what happened. Let's talk about that later. But let's get the customer happy. Anyway, sorry to digress about business. But tell us how you ended up at Parkview. You started at Raymond Nakuchi or not Nakuchi?
I've been my coaching journey is 20 years.
You're the
long.
I've been everywhere, man.
Yeah, I've coached in Texas.
Raymond Gap is what I meant.
Coached in college at SMU, then. I've coached in Dallas, Texas in high school. Then I went and played in Europe and ended up taking over a team in Europe, played coach professional football. And the old, you know, the NFL Europe disbanded, but all those teams are still there. And I was over there coaching for 8 years. Came back, helped start the IMG Academy program, and then went up to Trinity Catholic in Ocala, and then back to Europe again. Took my family this time and took a team to a couple championships over there, and then came back to Raymond Gap Nakuchi School. I was the last flight before the Trump travel ban. My wife tells me she's pregnant and says, I'm not having my kid in Germany. And so I was like, I better find a job. So I ended up at Raymond Gap Nakuchi School and took a team that I think was dead last in the rankings, North Carolina, to back-to-back state championships. And ended up, I was going to help mentor a coach at Providence. And some of these guys reached out, really good friends, their AD, Sean West, who does a fantastic job. And you know, the leadership of that school, I think, is fantastic. And they had reached out to me to come down and help coach. And, you know, it's at a time where I was, you know, thinking about the Lord and what is my walk and what's my mission. I'd love to go to battle for these guys and work at that school. And I was at Providence for a year, and then Nick Gass, the AD at Parkview, calls me and say, I'm about to make your life crazy. I'm like, oh man, you sure are. Because you pour your heart and soul. It's really hard. It's really hard to leave a program as a coach because it's the kids, right? You can leave the problems or the program that you're trying to develop and the hard parts, but it's always the kids. You're like, man, I don't want to let these guys down because you're in the fire together. So that's how I ended up at Parkview. It's about 20 years. I went away. In high school, I thought I was going to be the head football coach at Parkview when Coach Lowe left. That was what I thought it was going to be, right? I had my little notebook still that I was writing up. But, you know, after the wind pushed me away for 20 years to different spots, it was pretty crazy to be back. And, you know, I didn't do it. Definitely something else has put me here.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Until you mentioned bringing in the kids from Germany and stuff at Providence, and are you gonna try to do any of that at Parkview, or is that something we can do there?
So, you know, I coached and played in Europe for 8 years of my life. I know all the coaches over there. I know a lot of people, and the international programs that schools put together are so beneficial to kids. I think on both sides, right? It's great to have European kids or from Canada or all over. They enjoy our culture. We learn about their culture, and we actually understand that. You know, people are not the problem most of the time. It's our politicians that cause issues, but people get along pretty well together. And that's been a mission of mine, is to enjoy life and learn. You learn so much about somebody else and where they come from and why they are who they are, or why cultures are the way cultures are. And then, you know, at Raymond Gap, I had three Americans on a 75-man roster that started. We had 60-plus kids from all over the world. And then at Providence, we had a couple kids come in from different places. I don't know how – I haven't even looked into how the international program would work at Parkview. It's not really – I'm not – at the other schools, I was the director of admissions or working through admissions. Here, it would be a really hard situation. I don't want to bring in kids and then get them in trouble with the GHSA or have people come for specific football. Really, it never was football. It's, hey, you come to school here. Oh, you play soccer. Hey, you ever ran into somebody against their will, right? You want to tackle somebody?
Right. Yeah.
It was never like, hey, we're finding specific football players and they come. It was just benefiting the program and the school. And then you get lucky because I mean, there's big time athletes that just don't know they can play football.
Yeah, my youngest daughter, she plays the top level soccer. She's like, Dad, I can kick those extra points. I said, I know you can't. I said, I don't want you out there. Yep. She's like, but she was going, I said, I'll show you how to do it. I said, but, you know, they could kick. And then, of course, all of them did. But I was thinking the other day, I was like, I would be cool, but no. I do not. Well, I don't want them to take that hit. The soccer's been, the ACLs are crazy enough, right?
Absolutely. Okay, I'm going to go into family just for a second. Tell us how you met your wife and talk about your kids just a little bit.
Sure. So I was in Europe and I was coaching professional football over there and I didn't like where I was at. You know, I always knew the Lord, but I can get into faith later when I feel like the Lord snatched me up and saved me. But at the time I would have said I was a Christian. I didn't know who God was. I wasn't reading the Bible cover to cover. I would have said it. I wasn't living the life that I thought that I wanted. And I woke up in the middle of the night in a panic, like, what am I doing? I want to find a good woman, like someone to bring home to my mom. Like, you know, sure. This is, I got, my sister always threatened me. My sister, Chris, always threatened me that she would put me on eHarmony if I didn't find a girl. Right. And then I was like, I'm going to get on eHarmony and create a profile. Right. So it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I make a profile. I go to bed. I wake up again in a panic. I'm like, what did I just do? People are going to find it. They're going to make fun of me. Like, what am I doing? And I go on there to delete it. I have one message. And it's from a girl named Virginia. And I'm like, holy cow, who's this? And she writes me. She's like, I'm getting a bunch of weird messages on this. I'm getting off. You look normal. Here's my email. Email me and we can talk. So I delete my account, shoot her an email, and we spend 5 months emailing back and forth, finally get on the phone to talk to each other, start, you know, video calling, right, and see where we are, who we say we are. And then I fly home, and I meet her on the street in Decatur over here, and we went to the Brick House for our first date.
Great
so
place.
I flew home for a week just to meet this girl.
Because you'd never seen her in person, right?
You're in your book. This is the first time I meet. It's right there. I fly home, get off a plane, meet her at the Brick, or go on a date, meet in the street of Decatur and go to the Brick House. And that was our first date. Fly back and stayed in contact. And what was crazy is I came home in between seasons. She's working down at All Children's in Tampa. And I get a phone call from Chris Winkie, my childhood hero. I think it's a joke. He's like, hey, I have your resume here. I'm like, I didn't apply for anything. I have your resume here. It's Chris Wink. I was like, okay, funny friend. I was like, hey, you guys are funny.
Like,
do you want to talk to me or not? I was like, yes, sir, I do. Yes. He's like, I'm building a program called IMG Academy. You can look us up. We're a starter football team. I have your resume here. I want to bring you down for an interview. I was like, I'll be there tomorrow. Got in my car. Well, my wife's working in Tampa. Bradenton's right there. And so I drive down and offers me the assistant head coach and defensive coordinator position. And I'm in where my girlfriend is living.
Awesome.
And so we're engaged, you know, a couple months later and married, you know, a year later, and that was it. It was a pretty
so
wild
cool.
story. Yeah.
That is wild. I had no idea.
It wasn't nothing that I did. I think the Lord my whole life has been pushing things together, whether I knew it or not.
Absolutely.
Amen.
But there's no other way to explain that.
That's so cool, man. Thanks for sharing that.
Of course.
Tell us about your kids real quick. I know you got two.
Yeah, I got two. I got Bear. He's 7 years old, and he goes to Camp Creek. And I have Avery. She's two. I think she might be 14 already, but she's two. I've never seen a little kid that talks like she does. Her vocabulary's unreal. So.
Man, I was telling my wife, she does the digital learning at Camp Creek. So how old is Bear?
Bear's in first grade.
First
he's
grade.
Seven years old.
She got a lot of new first grade kindergarten friends. Our kids are so much older now. So she'll FaceTime me and like, oh, they're so cute.
Yeah.
Not ready for kids like that. I mean, grandkids one day, but that's awesome. Congrats, man.
Thank you. Yeah, they're great. They keep me on their toes for sure.
I'm going to jump back to football real quick. I do want to talk about how you became a Christian. We'll come right back to that. But tell me, I just think it's so cool you brought back Coach Flo, one of the winningest coaches in Georgia. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'm not crazy.
He's got something in the
I value coaches that have put in their time. I really value, especially Hall of Fame coaches. And I've been extremely lucky to play for Hall of Fame coaches in high school. My coach in college is going to be in the Hall of Fame, Phil Bennett. My coach I played for in Europe was a junior college Hall of Fame coach and Hall of Fame in Europe. In professional football, got to play for Team USA and Larry Karras, and he was, you know, Larry Karras, Lou Tepper, and all those guys that were on that USA football team. If I forget your name, I'm so sorry. I'm just going through a list. I played for all these Hall of Fame guys, and Coach Flo is one of the best coaches I've ever been around. I would be crazy to not go, hey, Coach, please come back. And then when we were talking through the process, they, you know, he's like, Joe, I think you should take the job. I was like, well, I think you should come with me. And you know, his concern is concerned on how much time he's going to be able to give me. I was like, Coach, you just show up when you can. I'll take as much, as little as you call me. However we got to make it work, I will Zoom call with you every Monday to just get you here. And I think it's important that people value the guys that have laid the foundation. I mean, he built Parkview football. And I want to be an extension of that. I am an extension of that. The way I think, the way I coach is very similar to Coach Flo. Of course, I have 20 years of doing something else and being there, but I'm never going away from the principles that he's laid in my life and on the football field and how to build young men.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me ask a question. Joey, I'm trying to remember. So you were at Parkview. Is that when the three-year run?
Yep. I never lost a football game. The Parkview.
So I'm trying to think. Let's watch some of those teams. That 2002.
So it was 2000, 2001, 2002.
So I remember coming to a game. It was when we lived in our neighborhood. And Jeff Francoeur was on that team. Yep. Listen to this, Francoeur. Whatever you're doing right now, put it down. Don't think about it. Joey's on air. He can say whatever he wants. But I remember coming to that game, and I think it was Brookwood Parkview in the finals. And I think they'd expanded the stadium out. They had buses coming in. Yep. That was amazing. I mean, how fun was that? I mean, going back to that.
That's why I keep telling the kids, like, the reason we're doing all the things we're doing and we're taking care of the culture and the traditions of what we're trying to build at the stadium is because I want that for the kids. I want you to have people being bussed in from Mountain Park
exactly
to these games. And it starts with – there's a lot of pieces, but it starts with getting everybody back. And but it was amazing that every single inch of that stadium was filled. And we're playing our crosstown rivals. And we're kicking their butts for the state championship. It was outstanding. It was one of the most fun times ever.
And we did. I never forget. I was like, I got to take a bus to a high school game. I'm like, yes, sir, because there's no way to get there. And I remember going. And I was like yesterday, and I was 02 or 01, one of the two. Maybe it was 02. Yeah. Went with the final.
2002, yeah.
Yeah. So I just remember that. I shared. That must have been awesome.
Yeah, we're warming up, and the fan. It's an hour before the game, and you can't find a seat.
That was crazy.
Yeah, it was a really cool time, and we want to bring that back.
That's awesome.
Talking about coming back to the old Parkview way, I just want to talk real quick about your discipline thoughts and just share that with us, how you're bringing that back.
Yeah, I mean, the kids can't run the show as much as they want to, and that's just not how it can work, right? I believe every young man searches for discipline, right? And I believe there's freedom inside discipline. The same way we have the Ten Commandments. You know, the Lord said, once you know your lane, it's like a train on a track, right? That, to me, the train has true freedom. It stays on that track. It's going straight. It's the same way for when you're working with kids. And I feel like Parkview football should have won some state championships. We lack discipline. We're jumping off sides. We do things we shouldn't do. And if we really say we're coaches, we're trying to build young men, right?
Absolutely.
And so the football takes care of itself. If your scheme's right, you're a good coach. I believe I'm a good coach. I understand the game of football. Let's build young men. And they don't get to trash the locker room. It starts in the locker room. You're not clean in the locker room. There's no way your brain can be clean going up into the classroom, right? I just believe it all carries over to every aspect of their life. And when the kids run the show, it is not a pretty picture.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't spend 20 years studying the game and coaching nonstop. I never took a day off. I would go from playing to coaching or coaching back to back seasons for 20 years. To be at this point to not say this is the way it is. This is what Parkview football is supposed to be, and I believe it starts with the discipline.
And you're not there to be their best friend, right?
Yeah, I'm not. So I tell my kids every year, listen, I'm not your friend. I'm not your brother. I'm not your cousin. I'm not your dad. We're not family, right? But I can be just as special. I'm your football coach.
Right.
And I'll be there at 4 o'clock in the morning. And you can tell me things that you can't tell that other group. And I won't say a word. And I have, but here's the thing. That same group can say exactly what I just said, and you'll get offended. I got to be able to say it and get you to do something you don't want to do against your will for your betterment, and you have to say yes, sir. So that's a fine line. And if I jump that line and we come to boys, you're going to get offended when I say that, just like you get offended every time your current players get chippy every time they get coached up by each other. It's like, you got to drop that. But I need to be able to say the things. And I don't always get return on that investment right away. It's 5 years later. Sometimes I had a kid yesterday walked in my office and said, Coach, thank you. No one else would tell me what you told me.
That's awesome.
He's like, I thought you just didn't like me. Now I realize, no, you actually do care, because you're the only one that will tell me that I'm not doing it right. Right.
Fantastic.
And it's a hard place to be, because you want to love on the kids. You want to be buddy buddies, but I mean, that's off season work. That's off season time. During the season, it's like you have goals. My job is to help you achieve those goals. And I got to tell you things that you don't want to hear. So you can achieve that goal. And that's where it is. But, you know, I've had kids at 4 o'clock in the morning call me, and they need immediate help. And it, like, when I talk bad situations, and I will fly to California and get you out of there. I will be there. I will get you out of these tough situations and no one will ever know. And that's, to me, that's the role of the football coach, right? It's a special relationship, but it ain't rainbows and butterflies. As soon as you graduate, I'll be at your first home game. I'll give you the biggest hug ever. Then it'll be rainbows and butterflies. But until then, I'm your football coach.
And talk a little bit about the feeder program. I know it's you want to get involved in that at the Mountain Park and stuff like that. Or just real quick, give me your philosophy on all that.
Yeah, I believe the feeder program should be exactly that. It should be a feeder to Parkview football, right?
Absolutely.
We're running the same offense and defensive schemes to our base plays, right? I want those coaches to have fun and be creative and be a football coach, right? But also, we need to be running power at the youngest level. We need to be running our core defense at the youngest level. That way, the kids, it's not something new all the way up. And I want discipline taught at the youngest level. And this is how we're going to act. And here's how our parents are going to act. And then have fun with the kids. Stop yelling at the kids. They're kids.
Yeah.
Hey, it's an 8-year-old football game. Right. Calm down. Right?
Enjoy.
Yeah. Like, it'll take care of itself. And, you know, everybody these days wants to be discovered instead of being disciplined.
Right.
We can't. No, you're playing Little League football. No one's trying to discover you. Nobody cares. Just allow yourself to be disciplined. Allow football to be, you know, developing toughness. And I love football, especially the youth. If anybody's listening, I love little kids playing football because they learn how to fall. They never fall anymore. They learn how to fall. They learn how to get hit, and they learn how to get back up. And that's, to me, extremely important for kids, because I feel like the toughness factor in our culture is going away. And it's being attacked, and like there's going to be a time we're going to need a tough generation. Somebody somewhere is not going to. We got enemies, and we got to develop tough people. And I think football is a great way to do that. There's other sports that do that. I'm not just saying it's football, but it's really important. And that's what I want to see from youth programs. And I try my best to be out there. And I think last Saturday I went to the youth, the younger kids. I got to see the 9-year-olds and 8-year-olds play. And the week before I was at the older kids in 8th and 9th grade. And try my best to be there for them and help those coaches and let those coaches know, like, my door is always open. I'll be the biggest resource for you. I'll give you all I got. You just got to ask.
I cannot believe we've spent this much time talking about all this, but I just want to quickly ask about your faith, because you've mentioned it several times in the interview. When did you become a Christian? And tell me a little bit about that.
So I was in Germany probably 5 years ago. I would have said I was a Christian since I was born. My mom, you know, we always talked about Jesus. I would always say my prayers. I'm just not sure who I was praying to. If you would ask me, how do you get to heaven? I would say, because of my good works or what I've done, right? And I don't think I really knew what I was talking about, right? And about 5 years ago, I woke up and I wanted to know, are dragons real? It's the weirdest thing. I'm not talking about dragons or dinosaurs. I'm, you know, for someone like me to just be like, dragons. And so I look up, are dragons in the Bible? And then I come across this preacher talking about, hey, Behemoth and Leviathan could be, I believe they're dinosaurs, right, in the book of Job. And so I read this, and I'm looking at Leviathan. I'm like, man, that sure does look like a fire-breathing dragon, if you ask me. And I was like, you know, I've never knew this was in the Bible. And if I say I know who God is, how come I don't know who he is? This is our Father in heaven. Who is Jesus? How do I not? I don't know this stuff. So I go and I read that chapter of the book of Job when Job responds to, the Lord responds to out of the whirlwind to Job and his friends and is like, who are you? Did you lay the foundations of the earth? And I just sit there and go, oh my gosh. And I got humbled in front of the Lord reading that.
That's awesome.
Anybody can't read that verse or that chapter and go, oh my gosh, I didn't, you're right. Like, holy cow. And my worldview flipped, everything flipped, and I was just snatched up and I said, I'm going to read this thing. I don't know what this Bible says. I'm going to read it cover to cover. I'm going to start in Matthew and work, and I'm going to start in Genesis and work. And I've now come five times through the full Bible, cover to cover. And I didn't do anything. He just snatched me up and set me straight and said, you follow me. The same way he did to his disciples, you follow me. And I've just been trying my best to just follow his pathway and just walk in faith with the Lord. And it's really hard in a worldly place and in a public school where you got to be very careful what you say, and you want to try to show your faith by your actions. And it's hard. It's hard when you're trying to whip kids into shape to be and not be a hypocrite. But I think every night I say my prayers and ask for just guidance on how to walk with these kids and get them out and disconnect them from the world. I mean, but that's what happened. I didn't do it. The Lord did it all.
It's kind of cool because when you talked about how you met your wife and everything, you just kind of see how God moved in your life. So it's really interesting, how you came full circle from being at Parkview to coming back as their head coach. That's just an amazing story to me. I mean, I think it's shows you, like I said, how God worked in your life.
All the things, it's been a rough road. It's been a long 20 years. It's not been easy. It's been a lot of hard fought battles just to survive, right? And health and family, and there's been a lot of issues, but everything works for good. Remember, you don't know it going through the time, but it's the same with Job. Lost a lot of things, his family, his wealth, but it was at the end of it that he came out. He didn't turn on the Lord. It was at the end of it the blessings came, right? And we're starting to see that on a 20-year journey. It has not been easy to be the head coach at Parkview with a wife and two kids that are beautiful and great friends and enjoyment and a father in heaven. It's been unbelievable.
So cool, man. Thanks for sharing that so much. I really appreciate it. And like I said, I can see how he's worked in your life. It's really, really cool to see. I guess we need to close up here. Thank you so much for being here and taking time to do it. In closing, thanks for tuning in to another Ordinary Joe's Town Talk with Joey Chapman on the End Results Radio Network inside the Perimeter Roofing Studio from the Country Inn and Suites by Radisson in Stone Mountain. Thanks again. Signing off.